Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Stephen the Warman Writes Kickfighting Podcast Show. I'm your host, Stephen the Warman. You are listening to this podcast in one of two ways. Either you are at my blog, which is lordgaul.podbean.com, or you are at the most efficient way to listen to the podcast. You are on iTunes, where you enter Warman Kickfighting Show, and the show pops right up. Today's show is pretty much going to be about K-Festa. That's going to be the majority of it. That's going to be what most of my talk is going to be. But of course, I'm going to get some results for you. I waited until we were a little bit closer to this date, because originally I was going to do this card last week, at the end of last week, and I was like, you know what, that's not close enough. There were some results that I could have done, so I could have like did three episodes back to back to back, but I just didn't think that it would be as clean, so I waited it out, and I think that this would be the best opportunity to get you guys that high-level kickboxing talk that you crave. But I'll go ahead and start with some results before I get into the big K-Festa card, and then I'll talk about where it ranks in history. First and foremost, we will go ahead and get started off with the Infusion card that went down a couple weeks ago. It was filmed, as I said before, as I was doing the podcast. So we had some good fights. We had some upsets. I'll go ahead and take you through it. First, let's just talk about the undercard, the lower part of the card. Ahmad Asli defeats Tomoyuki by decision. Levi Rigers gets a victory over Bruno Cesano by knockout on the third round. Ilias Anahachi gets a victory over Krubsut Fairtex, and that was a knockout in the first round. That was for the 60kg title. I need to see more of Ilias. I've only seen him a couple times as far as video that I've been able to get a hold of and really watch him, but he's definitely one to watch him from what I have seen. So if I get the opportunity to catch this fight full, I'll be sure to get it to you. But right now, it's been mostly technical, you know, like mostly just small clips of just showing his skill set, but not the big work that we're looking for. Martin Pacus defeats Hachim Achalahi, and that was, I can't remember what weight they decided to do that at, but that one went down. And then Johnny Risco gets the big victory over Bukal Bachmek. That's the one, of course, we're going to talk about the top three. You know, it was a close fight. You could definitely see Bukal winning it, but he was working through an injury. Johnny Risco is just taking advantage of people getting injured, getting his hands raised. It's hard to believe that in the last 3 years, Risco has a victory over Andy Sauer, victory over Bukal Bachmek, and the most crazy of them all. Well, I won't say crazy because, you know, injuries happen. It's part of the sport. We've got a long history of it in this game, but he's got a, you know, big-time victory over Tayfun Askin. And sorry, that looks – I had a little bit of a glitch in my recording. But Tayfun Askin, please forgive one more time. There was a couple errors that I had to work out that just kept popping up on the recording. So my apologies. Also, I've got a little bit of an engine sound in the background, so please forgive. But I'll just keep going through it, keep working through it, and getting you guys your kickboxing fix. So as I was talking about before, Johnny Risco has got victories over Tayfun Askin, Bukal Bachmek, and Andy Sauer in the last 3 years. Risco is a good, solid fighter. He's a strong dude. I never feel like his skill set is good enough to get him separation on the cards against the really good guys. So even in his best fights, he usually just edges ahead. But I did think that he was stronger in the fight with Andy Sauer, especially because Andy was flirting with MMA so much. I didn't think that he was in his kickboxing flow. But here, he was able to score some clean offense and spots. And of course, Bukal, people jump on him about his desire to compete now. They feel like he's there to just pick up a check, and he's so good that he just go out there and beat anybody. But Bukal is the man. He's very talented, and definitely want to see him keep competing. But he was injured. I saw them post the pics from the surgery and you know, on his foot and the work that they had to do. It was really, really interesting to see. It's part of the game. As I mentioned before, Johnny Risco getting, you know, victories, aided victory here, a full clean victory over clean injury victory over Tayfun Askin. There's a history of this in kickboxing. In a dominant year where he pretty much stopped everybody except for maybe one guy, Dromle Banner was on his way to finally winning the K-1 World Grand Prix. He'd won the first two rounds against Ernesto Hoost, and then a injury in the final frame to his arm, broken arm, which put him out for a really long time. That kept him from getting what was his K-1 World Grand Prix. If he had just moved around and been able to stay on his feet for, you know, 3 minutes, he had been fine. He was definitely up after two rounds, but in the end, history will always know that he didn't win a K-1 World Grand Prix, but it doesn't know how close he was. But that's just kind of how this game happens. Injuries occur. Victories happen because of them. Jené Riisko, this one, even though Bocao was injured, he still scored clean offense. He's still able to do enough work, even in a close fight, to get the decision. Shout out to Jené Riisko. What's next for him? They could do a rematch with Bocao because, of course, they brought him in and they're paying him well, so they want to see him in that title contention. See if Andy Semelier wants to come down. He definitely can, even though he's been fighting at what's 160 pounds for them. Anything's good for Riisko. Just keep him active. Andy Semelier gets a victory over Radon Larukubi. Larukubi, of course, very talented fighter, but a guy who I've always kind of seen as hangs out in the middle. You know, hangs out in around the... good enough to pull up an upset here and there, but not a guy who I've seen as of yet accomplish what I would consider elite, you know, status. But he's got a big time victory, you know, over Muhammad Dariya. So we got to take that into effect and see what happens with Larukubi. Now, I'm not saying that he can't be that. I'm just saying as of right now, he doesn't have the wins and he hasn't shown that trajectory. But he's a talented guy, and he came in and he gave a game effort to Andy Semelier, but Semelier's on a different level right now. A young guy. Again, we talk about these young stars that are in kickboxing right now between Andy, between Alim Nabayev, you know, just anybody. Cedric Doumbé, we've got some good young stars. You're gonna hear a few of them mentioned when I talk about the K-Festa card. Just really, really good stuff from Andy. He continues to win. And my goal for him is just to keep fighting. Five fights, six fights this year, something like that. Nothing less. Keep being active. You're a good, good fighter, and I want to see more of you. Luis Tavares is continuing to be the dominant heavyweight as the champion once again gets a victory. This time a second round stoppage, corner stoppage over Fatih Olusoye. Tavares is coming into his own. You know, this is a guy who once upon a time he did fight for glory and he was stopped with a body shot to Artem Vakhadov, if I remember correctly. And allowed himself to get bigger, maybe feels a little bit more comfortable at that weight, a lot stronger. He's a talented dude, you know, and he doesn't give you your normal clean combination of low kick style that you've seen from a lot of guys from Holland. He's got a different rhythm to how he finds offense, but he's still extremely effective and a guy who I love watching compete. So, you know, another solid card from Infusion, and this is good. Just I mentioned before, they just got to battle the ups and downs, you know, the bads that's been coming. They haven't had the clean cards where everything went well on this night. There's usually something that pops up. So I'm glad that this card went out, you know, went out without a hitch. You can make your argument for the injury slowing Bocao's effort. But in the end, you got to give what I think is a much, much deserved victory for the Spaniard. So good shot there. I'm going to mention it because it's what I do. I break down cards. But Lanute Titans had a card. It had some notable fighters on there, some names that you've seen in glory. I won't talk about the whole card, but I'll mention some guys that I think you should pay attention to. Eduard Morat gets a victory over Elias Gala. That was a TKO stoppage. Ali Forchi gets a victory over Arthur Klope. Tufik Delisi gets a victory over Kadar Awad, I believe that's pronounced. And then Mohamed Hendouf, as a guy who I've seen fight before, a talented guy, gets a victory over Sayouf Saifullah. I'm going to butcher the last name. Kumbakadov, I believe I got that right, Kumbakadov. And then the most notable one as far as glory is concerned. Now, again, you know, Sami Sana's victory, Zachariah Latoni's victory. I'm not discounting him. In particular, the Zachariah Latoni victory over Sergio Canters is a big-time win. Because Canters is a solid kickboxer in Holland. And he's just a workman-like guy who a lot of promotions use. They use him in China. They use him all over Europe. Zachariah gets a big-time victory for me. That's significant. We'll see where it goes. That was, I believe, part of a tournament. I'm not sure when the finale of that tournament is, but definitely really good stuff by, I really want to get that last name down. Lea Tunney gets a victory over Sergio Canters. But I want to go ahead and finish off with the last two in Acapode. El Hajj gets a victory over, Al Capone gets a victory over El Hajj Mekedem, and that was by knockout in the second round. And then the most notable one for Glory people is Amel Debbie getting a victory over Ilona Wymans. Wymans, of course, is All Action. I've talked about her several times in the show. Fight of the Year candidate several times. She brings it. Like, she's a girl who has a good combination style. She's got a nice, strong 1-2 switch kick or cross switch kick with her left leg. She can bring it out at different times. She showed good KO pop in her fights before. She had the war with Denise Kielholz, which is all, awesome stuff. She's a really good fighter. Amel Debbie, very clean kickboxing. Got to the Glory final a year ago where she, almost 2 years ago now, a year and a half. She gets the victory in this one, and it's all set for, as far as Mexican, as long as Mexican is injury-free after her fight next week. We'll see who the winner will be, of course, in that one, but it's all set for Debbie to fight for the title in France. So, should be a good one. This is just a card I wanted to mention quickly. Didn't get to watch all the fights, get to watch some of them, but I do my best because I've got fans from all over the world, and they want to know if I at least spend a little bit of time on their kickboxers. And I really thought that the most notable ones of Amel Debbie, Sami Sanna, and Zachariah Latoni are the main ones to pay attention to. They are very, very solid fighters, and we'll see what happens to them moving forward, but definitely remember those names for sure. We're going to go ahead and let's break into K-Festa. I will be as clean as I can as I break these results down. Or break this preview down, but man, it's a lot of fun fights. I'm excited to see this card. I'm excited to see where this card goes moving forward. It's just awesome. They've got 9 hours of TV slots, and I will get into how to watch it and all that later, but it is going down. We're going to have us quite a day for those who love kickboxing. It's one of the great kickboxing cards that I've seen in my lifetime. Stands out with Champions versus Champions 2, some of the K1 cards, of course, and Max, where you see on paper that it's going to be good, but way before you see the fight. This is just going to be that kind of a level of a card. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm excited to see where this goes moving forward. So let's go ahead and break into the action. Preliminary fights, I'm just going to mention them. I've got too much of the main card to talk about to go into them deep. But Seno Junpei gets a fight with Matsumura Hideki. Ruku gets a victory over Kato Kona. Hara Shoda gets a opportunity over Kondo Casey. Sorry about that. Same for Ruku versus Kato Kona. And then we've got Toshi versus Hoyada. And then we've got Yokoyama Takumi versus Aoa Tetsuya, and that's in a 60kg reserve tournament for the tournament, of course, that's going on the main card. But I really wanted to take the time to bring those up because that's what's getting this party started. So when there's a few people in the crowd, they're going to be watching those five fights. I can't wait to meet how many diehards are able to hang out and go through this whole thing. So should be a lot of fun. Let's go ahead and jump into the first of the main cards. Main card's going to be broken down into three parts. Part one, part two, part three, with some of the tournament in each of the parts and a good intermission between. So unlike some of the other fights where the intermission's not that long and you got to bring in the fighters to go do it again, they're going to have a good solid break before they got to go out and compete for the second time. Sometimes it's to a fighter's benefit, sometimes it's not, but we will see. But as I said before, let's jump into the action. We got Koji versus Hirotaka Arabi. Now again, Koji, solid fighter. He's going to have a tough time with Hirotaka Arabi. Arabi won this tournament before. Like, he's won 60kgs back in the day, one of their first tournaments, and he came on the scene just blowing people away. Very, very talented guy. I expect Hirotaka to win this one. He's had some mental lapses, and there was that period of time where he was struggling last year and he wasn't getting his hands raised like we're used to seeing, but he's still a talented guy. He was able to end that losing streak and get a victory. I expect him to come out and do some good things with Koji. Next fight we're going to talk about, we've got a kind of an old school flavor. He's been in the game for a while. Komiyuma Kosuke, as he gets a fight with Sarek Ruku Kamai, but Ruku Kamai is a very talented fighter. He's coming off of a stoppage in January. I believe the gentleman's name was pace. I'm messing it up, but he fights under Andre Menard, and I remember it's an interesting fight to watch. So go ahead and put this in YouTube. Surek space Rukkamui. That is Ruku Kumai. That kid is very, very talented. And the guy who he fights, it should be the first fight that pops up. He has him hurt for a very long time, but it just shows what good cornering is and what good reffing is. The guy's hurt and has no clue whatsoever that he's hurt. Like, he just doesn't know that he's in bad shape like that. So he's, like, arguing with the ref and looking to the corner, like, why did they stop it when he's clearly not into it? He goes out after the ref stopped it for a moment. They go into an exchange. He goes down. And then as he gets up, he's, you know, not all there. As Ruku Kumai really put together some hands. Very, very clean kickboxer. Should be a lot of fun. Him going against Kosuke is going to be interesting because, you know, Komiyama's got victories over, like, Sergio Wilson, and he's been in the game for a long time. We're in 2008, but, I mean, 2011, 2010, 2009, he was a guy who was getting good, you know, world-class victories. We'll just see what he has left in the tank because it's a lot harder to see with the smaller weight classes. But, you know, we'll see how long he's able to sustain fighting at a high level. That's going to be a good one. I actually like Surek to move forward. So Ruku Kumai moves forward. He meets Hirotaka Urabe on that part of the bracket. Then we go into Taku versus Storis. Kouastidis. I believe I'm getting it right. The X throws me off. Exa Kouastidis, but I'll just keep calling him Storis for the sake of this. He's a hitter. He's going to throw that heat. He's going to sit down in the pocket, not necessarily always look to set it up. Sometimes he's just going to believe in his power and let it go. Talented, talented guy. He's going to go against Takuro, who is the star. Takuro, of course, was originally supposed to be fighting for the title of this weight class clean, and then the separation between K1 and the Tryhard gym, which had a lot of separation. They lost a lot of good fighters because of that separation, but they, instead of giving us Takuro once, we have the opportunity of possibly getting him three times. I expect this one to be a banger, but nobody goes to war like Takuro. So if Storis is going to play that game, he's got to play it with a guy who finds his big shot in exchanges all the time. Takuro could get dropped and get right back up. This really could be, you know, a firefight. And we can't forget, this is moving up in a weight class. A lot of people don't think that it's a lot, but if you watch boxing, it's a lot. If you watch a guy who fights at 122, then go fight at 130 in boxing, it just looks significantly different. In that way, you're watching a guy who fought at 55 kgs now move up to 60 kgs. So we'll see if the power holds on. But he does have good kickboxing acumen anyways, so I expect him to win this one and move forward. Gusha Masanobu goes against Timur Nedov. The dark horse of this tournament, to me, is Timur Nedov. Very, very talented guy. And one of my favorite things about him is he's got exceptional timing when you kick. Him finding his punch when you throw your low kick or your body kick, he's really, really good at it. Sergio Wilson's a tough guy, hard to stop. And Timur was able to stop him after scoring a shot. It punched him right as he was kicking, and he got him in trouble. And then he put together a flurry of hands that got Sergio Wilson out of there. And Wilson, of course, once upon a time was the It's Showtime champion in the, you know, at 60 kgs back in, you know, 2010, 2011. So he's been in the game for a while. So Timur didn't get the best guy, you know, the best representation of Sergio Wilson, but he's still a good fighter. He's still really tough. Timur is got the skill, the kickboxing acumen, the timing, and the power to go far in this tournament. I think he beats Gusha. Gusha's, you know, a talented kid in himself. Like, he brings a good fight. I just like Nedrov's talent a lot more. I think Nedrov moves on to fight Takuro, and that should be a good one. After that, we go into our first title fight, welterweight title fight. Their welterweight in this division is different than the welterweight in Glory, so I'll make that clear. Welterweight for them, for Glory, or for K1 is a lot closer to how boxing has welterweight. 147 is the weight class for boxing. Well, you know, and Yuta Kubo and Bogdazaryan, I believe I actually got it, Bogdazaryan. Those guys are going to be competing closer to that 147 range. Melsik is talent. talented. You know, he sits on his power shots. I just think Yuta Kubo is just too slick. You know, I think that he's just a slicker kickboxer. We'll see what happens with Melsik moving forward. Bagdasarian is definitely a talented kid. Good power. American base. He trains in California. They did a little video on him when he went out and fought in K1 before. I really like him. I like him as a talent. But I just think Yuta Kubo is very, very experienced. He's once the glory champion. He's the champion here. He was K1 champion of the weight classes back in the day. He's just such a talent. He had a little bit of a struggle himself, but now I think that he's kind of got his feel back. I think that he's going to get a decision, and it should be a good one. Champion Antonio Plazabat is going to go against Royal Menart. Menart was in the tournament before and didn't come up his way. He did not make his way to the championship fight. Plazabat did. I like the heavyweight division right now for K1 is closer to the glory light heavyweight division. The bodies who are fighting are around that weight. But Antonio is very talented. He showed us a lot of good kickboxing skill with his combinations and his low kick. He had a nice jumping knee KO in there. He just does really good stuff. I think he's the cleaner kickboxer. I think he's going to find his power shot, and he's going to get this win either with low kicks or with a combination with the punches upstairs. He's an entertaining guy to watch. So if you want to see an entertaining, you know, heavyweight around that light heavyweight size, Antonio brings it. So the K1 heavyweight division isn't what it used to be, but it's growing, and it starts with one guy, and then you can just build from there. We'll see what their division comes in future years or what happens to their division down the road, but we've got a good start with Antonio Plazabat as their champion. We get an intermission here. I'm not sure how long the intermission is going to be. So some people might go off and, you know, buy their snacks. Some people might go play golf. It just depends on how long the intermissions are. But we'll go back, or we'll come back from the action, and we get a women's fight at 50 kgs where Kana goes against Polina Petikova. And here's my thing about this. I've seen Polina fight a couple times, and I was able to find them. It was tough to find the footage, but she's got some amateur fights. So you'll see her, you know, full headgear up, shin guard up. Kana, of course, is one of the better hitters in the division at 50 kgs. Kana lost to Melanie Higgins, lost the title, got some wins, came back, won her title before the year was out. She's one of the true heavy punchers in the division. And there aren't a lot of women that I say I feel so confident that they've got that KO pop, but Kana is one of them. Like, she can crack. So I'm not saying that she's, you know, Wan Kihan, but I'm saying that she can find her punch and she can put the hurt on you. I think that Polina, who's used to amateur, used to a different style of kickboxing, actually more of a Muay Thai style as far as the rule set, she's going to have trouble with somebody's out there throwing that heat. So I lean for Kana to win. This might get ugly at times. There might be some clinch. There might be some rules. The ref getting in and pulling someone aside. But in the end, Kana's a really good fighter. Polina will put up a good, you know, performance until some big shot scores. So I think Kana's going to win this one by KO or get a decision where there's several downs in it. A couple of fights in between. I won't go into them as much. Kenji Teto takes on Tosaka Takumi. And then we've got Nakazawa June as he takes on Sota Yusumi. Sota Yusumi, of course, I've mentioned in the show before. This is a good four. They're just kind of good, solid fights. Nothing that jumps out as far as I'm concerned, as far as their talent moving towards the end of the card. I think they're really good super fights of guys who can be players in tournaments down the road. We'll go ahead and leave that and going back into the tournament field. As I mentioned to you before, I had Hirotaka going against Sarek Rukukumai, and then I've got Hirotaka winning that one. Now again, Rukukumai or Sarek has a really good opportunity to win this one. He's got the skill set. Arabe has the mental lapses at times. Sarek definitely has the kickboxing acumen to get into his low kick game, get into his counters with his punches. And if Hirotaka plays, you know, second, or he's waiting at all like he did when he fought his brother, I think that there's going to be, you know, he waited until a jumping knee caught him or got him the victory. I really think that Rukukumai could have some success in this one. But I lean for Hirotaka to get the victory and move on to the final. Timur Nurdov, I do love you. I do love your skill set. But I got to go with the monster. Got to go with Takuru. The kid just brings it nonstop all the time. He's such a talent. He's not just that he's a good fighter and his kickboxing is going to be there, but he will figure out that Timur is waiting on his kicks and he'll just sit there and play power and box with him. So that's going to be a really, really good fight. I don't care who the winner is in that one. I think the champion comes out of that fight, whether unless they kill each other too much, and then Hirotaku gets an easy guy. But Timur Nurmagomedov and Takuru is going to decide who wins the tournament. If Nurmagomedov wins, he'll move on and beat Hirotaku, but I think Takuru will win it. That takes us to our next super fight and our both title fights. Masaki Nori is going to go against Tetsuya Yamada. Tetsuya Yamada is the truth. I mean, he's such a talented guy. He's coming over, coming off of a big-time KO win in his K-1, I guess, return, if you will. He had a lot of success in Lion Fight, got the Kevin Ross victories. Fought on Thai Fight before. He's fought everywhere. He's just a great fighter. Just a great fighter that's always going to go out there and compete to the best of his ability, but he's so skilled. He's going to go against Masaki Nori, who is the champion. Masaki Nori was considered the best fighter in the world when he got the victory over Kufertex. Only problem was, after the victory of Kufertex, he went to France and he lost to Abdallah Isbiri. But I still like that he did it, because Isbiri is, man, it's just, he's a talented guy and he's an awesome fighter. And he got a good combination of low kick flow. I would have loved to see him fight for the interim title and New York for glory. He's just such a talent. But the thing that I liked about that fight is Masaki Nori, for the second time, went to France to fight one of their better fighters. And most of the elite Japanese guys do not leave Japan. They wait for everybody to come to them. But Masaki Nori put himself out there. Didn't go his way, but I love that he did it. And but in the end, everybody knows that he's my son, and I might be, you know, backing him a little bit too much. If there are four fighters that I can say for sure that when they were young, I thought they were going to be awesome, people usually joke and they say they're my kids, because I jokingly say they're my kids. There's Masaki Nori, there's Koyori Ube, there's Iman Barlow. Those are the big three. And if I were to add another one, I'd say Chingiz Aitmatov, because those are the fighters that I've been pushing since they've been in their mid-teens. And now to see them be best fighters in the world, some of the best fighters in the world, it's amazing to watch. Masaki Nori, I think he's got what it takes to get the decision, as long as he doesn't get hit with nothing crazy. And Yamada is skilled, but I don't know if he's skilled enough to win rounds consistently over Masaki Nori. Nori's really good at finding his offense clean. He's got a really good low kick game, really good step knees, quick boxing, and really good flurry offense. So I think that he's going to get the victory here. Chingiz Aitmatov is going against Hinata. Hinata is a tough guy, tough fighter. So this is at super welterweight, so about 154, 70 kgs. Lightweight for those of you who are Glory fans. Hinata, of course, has got one of the strongest kicks you're ever going to see. Strong body kick. Georgia Petrosian once said that he was the hardest kicker that he ever fought. Hinata's always really been good. The problem is Chingiz Aitmatov is truly one of the elite best fighters on the planet. Like, not even close. He's got a good switch stance, a good, you know, boxing from both stands, good combination flow, good return. He's great at kick returns. If you kick him, he kicks right back. So I wonder if Hinata might try to encourage him to play that game a little bit more. But, man, it's just, he's a talent. He really is a talent, and it's going to be tough for Hinata, you know, who a guy once upon a time and, you know, got a victory, a stoppage victory over Kashinko in the 2009-2008, around that period of time. Hinata showed the talent once upon a time, but now we're 9 years removed from that. And Chingiz Aitmatov is a young man still in his prime. I just think Aitmatov is going to win that one by stoppage. We get another intermission. Like I said, we don't know how long it's going to be. We don't know if it's going to be golf long. We don't know if it's going to be, you know, just go get a snack or a wave down the peanuts guy. It could be something really quick. But we get an intermission, and then we go into our final fights. Kimuro Philip Minoru takes on Hiroyama Jin. And, of course, Jin, it's just like this. Can you take advantage of Minoru when he has the mental lapses? If he can go out there and dictate fights and get into his power game, when he had his best year, that's what Minoru did. Because he still has the power to, at any time, drop anybody in the world around the, I guess he's fighting at welterweight. Anybody in that weight class, anybody who fights between 140 and 147, if he hits you, he can sit you down. No question about it. He's got that kind of power. He's got that kind of talent. But if he has a mental lapse, he starts walking around, he has a tendency to run into shots, he's never conscious of his defense. He can easily be hit by anybody. It just kind of comes down to does he have the talent to take advantage of that if it happens? If it doesn't happen and Kamara can get into his offense, Kamara has all the talent. The girls love him. He's got that hip-hop style. It goes out with he speaks the language. I mean, he's from Brazil, but he speaks Japanese. It could be a really good night for the K1 brand if he has success in this fight. Both guys work, but he was a guy who was built as a star for a little bit, and then he kind of tailed off. So let's see if he can get himself back on track. Islam Shahid takes on Yoshihiro Kido. Kido is just such a character. I love everything about him, the videos and stuff that he puts together. He's a lot of fun. We'll see. Islam Shahid, I've seen a couple of his fights, not over-impressed, but I think this is the opportunity for you to you know, show who you are. And Yoshihiro Kido, of course, coming off of being so close, he even scored a down against Chingiz Alzov. We will see what happens to him as he tries to bounce back and get himself back into that title picture. He's still in it, but see if he can get himself that rematch, Yoshihiro Kido. And then we go into the, as it says, Emergo Presents. We got Ku Resurrect, as he takes on Hiromoto Ren. Got to have Ku on this card. He clearly is still in the title picture. If Tetsuya Yamato wins, I can imagine them doing the fight with Ku next. But him going against Hiromoto Ren, really good fight, really good fighters around the same, you know, consistent guys. I love that K1's using Ku even though he's had the loss. Because sometimes they want to separate themselves from the Japanese fighter. But they've been using him on a regular basis. I use Ku Fairtech's name even though it's Ku Resek Rec. That is the name of the Fairtex gym that's in Japan, so that's why he has that name sometimes when he fights in Japan. But Ku Fairtex is, I think that he beats Hiromoto Ren. Ren's a talented guy, but Ku's the truth. And Masaki Nori just got by, just edged him to get that championship. Ku will be back in the title picture, no problem. Fight of the night for me, no question about it, Wiru against Koya Urobe. Now, Koya Urobe, been the champion of that weight class before. This is going to be a good fight. Wiru, very, very slick. Very slick southpaw, but now we got southpaw versus southpaw. I like Koya Urobe's ability to get to his combination low kick game better than Wiru's ability to do it. Wiru's got the real slick boxing and the slick movement, and he does have a good kick game, and he very well could win this fight. So I really kind of say it's like 52-48. Koya Urobe, that's my lean. But that's how talented these guys are. You're going to see the best, highest level, cleanest kickboxing in this battle. You're going to see it throughout the card. But this fight in particular, you're going to see some really, really good kickboxing acumen. Koya Urobe, I think, has got more of a feel to have power counters, whereas Riru's got more of a feel to have flow counters. Like he can get into, you know, take advantage of you and flow it into threes and fours. Koya Urobe can get to counter and put you on your butt. So it's going to be a really, really fun fight. I'm excited for this one, probably more than any of the fights on the card. It should be really good. Next fight we have, and this is a good kind of calm down fight. We got a rematch with Takai Yoshiki as he takes on Kenji Kubo. Kenji Kubo, man, if he can have some success, he really does look the part. He's got the dyed blonde hair. He's sitting there all laid back in the corner before fights go on. But Takai Yoshiki did a great job of just countering in between because Kenji Kubo's defense is almost non-existent. He just walks into everything because he's looking to score his offense. But he would throw, and Yoshiki did such a good job of throwing in between and finding his offense. It came easy. So we'll see what happens to these guys moving forward. But in the end, they are great fighters. They are great competitors. And they need to, they're good fighters. They're good competitors. And they're looking for the opportunity to get themselves into championship contention. We'll go ahead and wrap the show up with the fight that is going to finish the tournament. Of course, as I have it breaking down, Takuru versus Hirotaku Urabe. I cannot go against Takuru. I really do believe he is one of the elite kickboxing stars. If he wins this tournament at this weight class, it solidifies him as the pound-for-pound best kickboxer in the world. Most people already feel that way, but this one would really, really solidify it. And then, of course, you know, anything's good with him. Of course, you guys know that there is the opportunity that, you know, for bigger super fights with other individuals that haven't fought in K1 quite yet. Go ahead, keep that a secret. But I definitely want to see him down the road against the elite if he gets this win. It'd be a great cap off to the night. It'd be great for the K1 brand if he ends up being champion again. I'm good with either winner, anybody, but I just want great kickboxing action. So, how to watch it? Shout out to Kixie and Grabaka Hitman, also known as Kaposa. I'll go ahead and give you guys, this is their exchange, March 7th. I remember that. We'll have to search Twitter. He's saying that I'm going to have search Twitter for the video. Kixie did it. And then Kaposa, Grabaka Hitman to the rescue, FujiTV.live. You can sign up for 24-hour trials over and over. So when you guys get down to it, you can sign up for Fuji TV, because that's the other big thing. K1, the two big things for this K1 card. Number one, they moved to Saitana Super Arena, which they, you know, what I've heard, they sold out, but they left 100 tickets to be sold on the day. So great job for them as far as filling a bigger arena, Saitama Arena, much bigger than where they've been. They've been doing a lot of the smaller arenas in Japan. They picked it up for this one. So that's the first great sign. Great sign number two. Also very, very important. Very, very important. This one is back on Fuji TV. The thing that made K1 big in the first place was being in the Fuji TV, because that's the big TV broadcast. A lot of people have that. Gets to a lot of homes. That's where you want to be seen. So that is my breakdown. I actually thought the show was going to be an hour, but because I have my notes so, you know, written out so well, it's going to be a 36-minute show. So God bless everybody. Thank you for listening. Watch kickboxing, and I will have a results-based show afterwards. So thank you for following the sport. Again, thank you for everybody who takes the time to listen to my podcast. Have a good one.